Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Shira Springer. Let's begin today with the tough work ahead for the nation's lawmakers. After a long summer break, members of Congress are back in Washington facing a busy September.
And there's lots to do, including a looming debate about spending, an effort to avoid another government shutdown, and a first ever visit by a pope, and a big vote on the Iran nuclear deal.
With so much work ahead this September, we're going to continue our series of conversations with members of Massachusetts' congressional delegation. A few minutes ago, we spoke to Congressman Michael Capuano, who joined us from Washington.
Congressman Capuano, welcome to Radio Boston. It's good to have you.
Always a pleasure.
So, first up in this very busy month ahead is probably the Iran nuclear deal. President Obama has the votes he needs to sustain a veto in the Senate to ensure the deal won't be killed. You'll be debating a resolution of disapproval in the House. And, Congressman, you've decided to support the deal, right?
Pretty much. I mean, I haven't said 100% yet because, unfortunately, this is the most volatile region in the world. And, God forbid, something could happen between now and the time we vote that would change my mind. I don't expect that to happen, but nonetheless.
Yeah. Now, opponents to this deal, they'll make the case that it will empower Iran, flood it with money by lifting sanctions, give them too much ability to avoid inspections. Are you confident that they're wrong, or what do you say to those arguments?
I'm not confident about anything. I mean, this is one of those situations, there's no way you can feel 100% confident. I look at this deal and I say to myself, can they be a better deal? Is there honestly a way to get a better deal? Can we improve it? And my conclusion is no. And I say that because the rest of the world has made this agreement. They're sticking with it, good, bad, or indifferent, which leaves us on our own. And I don't think there's any way for us to get a better deal in a unilateral fashion than we have. So, therefore, here's the deal we have, and something is better than nothing.
All right. So, from the Iran nuclear deal to the debate around funding for Planned Parenthood, ever since a series of videos emerged that showed members of Planned Parenthood discussing fetal tissue procurement possibly for profit, conservatives have been demanding that the organization be defunded. What's your view on this issue?
Well, to my knowledge, no one has proven by any capacity that it was a for-profit activity. If it were, it would change the entire tenor of the thing. Fetal tissue is a necessary and appropriate research item, and Planned Parenthood has been part of that. They're not the only ones. We do a lot of that type of research in Massachusetts to a lot of good ends, I might add. And Planned Parenthood has been a target of the right wing for a long time. This is just the latest in a series of attacks trying to deny health care for women.
Well, the Republicans insist that Planned Parenthood broke the law. The organization says the videos were misleadingly edited. I mean, what's your view? Do you think the latter, that the videos
There's no way I know. If they broke the law, they'll be brought up on charges and they'll be convicted. I have full faith in the judicial system. I am not the one who is capable of making that judgment. But my expectation is that they have not broken the law. But I don't know that.
All right. Another big issue this month is that the government needs to be funded by October 1st. That'll probably happen in the form of a continuing resolution. Republicans passed a budget that would lock in automatic spending cuts for domestic spending while increasing spending on defense. The president says he won't sign a budget that doesn't raise spending on both domestic and defense programs. How is this going to play out? And will Washington avoid another confrontation and debate over a possible shutdown?
You'll have to ask the Republicans that. The president's been very clear. I agree with the president on this. I hope he sticks to his convictions. I'm not opposed towards tightening belts if that's what's necessary. But again, this is an old attack. The right wing of the Republican Party has long attacked social programs of every kind. Senior housing, health care, children's lunch programs. They've attacked those forever. This is just another way to do the same thing, hiding behind the skirts of the Defense Department. We do have a budget issue here. We should address it. We've done it once before in the late 1900s, in the early part of this century. We had a balanced budget for 3 years under President Clinton, And as soon as Republicans took over the White House, they changed that under George Bush. So we've done it before. We can do it. We should do it. But everybody has to tighten their belt equally, and there has to be additional revenues put on the table.
Hmm. What are the chances, though? I mean, if you were a betting man, and I'm not sure if you are, are we going to see a shutdown or not?
I don't know. I mean, I've seen them before, and you know, it's always amazing to me. The right wing of the Republican Party has, you know, they stick to their principles. I give them some credit for that, except if that were the case, that everybody just stuck to their principles purely and never compromised, nothing would ever get done, not just the last few years. And thankfully for the country's history, we've been a long time history of having members of Congress who, it's good to have principles, but on occasion we have to make compromises so we can make progress. This is one of the many, many, many that we do. And I hope and expect that's what we'll get. Doesn't mean we won't have pain in the meantime, but you'll have to ask some of my right-wing friends what they plan on doing.
All right, well, we'll do that. I want to ask you a question about presidential politics. You told the Boston Herald that a Joe Biden-Elizabeth Warren ticket would be a great ticket for the Democrats. Are you encouraging the vice president to run?
What I did is I answered their question. They asked me if that would make a great ticket, and I said yes. I'm not encouraging anyone to run for president in the sense that having run for office, I know how difficult it is. I know what it takes out of you. And the people we're talking about are thoughtful, intelligent adults who have done this before. They're more than capable of making their own decisions. If they make those decisions, I'll consider it then. In the meantime, whatever they decide is fine by me.
All right. So it doesn't sound like an endorsement, Congressman.
No.
All right. Well, let me ask you, though, about Hillary Clinton. Polls in New Hampshire show Bernie Sanders actually moving ahead of her. What's your take on what's going on in this race?
Well, I've been telling people from day one not to discount Bernie Sanders. There's an awful lot of people, particularly the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, who have been unhappy with the way the party has slid over the last 15, 20, 30 years, whatever time period you want to pick. And there are a lot of people that wonder what's the distinction between Democrat and Republican Party. And sometimes it's a fair question, sometimes it's not. And I think Bernie Sanders represents a certain wing of the party that is pretty adamant about this. It is a New England tradition to go against the grain, and New Hampshire particularly loves that tradition. Hmm. So I'm not at all surprised. Now, I don't know whether that'll be the final poll. I'm sure it won't be. It'll change 100 times between now and Election Day. Nonetheless, anyone who discounted Bernie Sanders or the level of discontent in the general electorate, including the Democratic primary voters, has been underestimating that. I hope I don't.
But is Sanders, in your view, more than just a protest candidate? I mean, do you see him with the legs to go beyond New Hampshire?
It's a possibility. I don't know. I mean, I don't know much about South Carolina voters. I don't think it's just a protest vote. I think that's part of it. I don't think that's all of it at all. Not at all. Bernie has a very clear view of the world that he presents. It has been presenting it pretty publicly now for, I don't know, 40, 50 years. I don't know how long he's been in the public domain. It's been for all my adult life. And that being the case, he's attracted a lot of supporters. I agree with Bernie on many and many issues.
Hmm. I want to bring this questioning a little closer to home. We learned last month that the Green Line extension into Somerville and Medford could cost $1 billion more than the initial budget estimates. You've been saying that shouldn't stop the expansion, but where would the extra money come from?
Well, I don't think it'll be $1 billion in the final analysis. It'll be significantly less than that. The state will sharpen their pencils, number one, and they'll reduce the project if they have to some degree. And I think that's the way they'll make ends meet. These are expensive projects. It really shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone that a project that size has been underfunded. I mean, gee, what a surprise. The MBTA has underestimated cost on a project. But it won't be $1 billion, and I do believe the project will be completed at a significantly reduced price than that one.
What about people who say the T should focus on repair and maintenance first before thinking about expansion?
That sounds like Mitt Romney. He didn't do much of it while he was governor. I think you can chew gum and walk at the same time. The MBTA certainly needs to repair its system. But it also needs to continue to expand its service to get more and more people on the system, which will provide the revenue to allow us to maintain it.
Hmm. So this question about the Green Line extension, it seems like it has gone on for years and years and years and years. Do you think we're actually going to see it, even notwithstanding this 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 new cost estimate?
Yes, I do. I again, you may not see it on the time frame that they once touted. You may not see it at every station at the same time. You may not see every station of the same quality. But you will absolutely see a Green Line extension in the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Let me ask you about another big thing that's happening toward the end of September. The Pope will be visiting and addressing Congress, which sets up an interesting dynamic. He was invited by Speaker Boehner, but the Pope's been speaking out on a number of issues, sounding a little bit like a progressive on climate change, for example. How do you expect his address to Congress will be received, and what implications will it bring?
Oh, I think he'll be very well received. I mean, the Pope is very popular amongst most of the people here. At the same time, I actually hope that he gives a little discomfort to the comfortable. I think that's one of his roles. I'm a Catholic, and that's the end of the part of the Catholic teachings that I've always most embraced. The teachings that say that we should take care of our brothers and sisters whenever they're in need. And I think this Pope is really emphasizing that portion of the teachings and doing it very well. So I'm looking forward to making a few of my colleagues squirm in their seats.
Okay. Well, Congressman Michael Capuano, he represents the 7th District of Massachusetts. Congressman, thanks for talking about
Thank
all the
you very
fun
much.
In Washington. We appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Stay with us. Coming up, how to master the dreaded college essay. I'm Shira Springer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks, and this is Radio Boston.